to Big Foamy Head, show 38, part 2, and this continuation of the Barbecue Fest. And we're mostly going to introduce the interviews and let you guys listen to these exceptional people that we're spending our time with over the 2 days at the river.
We got a couple of bears.
The first one we tapped into, I was sorely disappointed with. Mm-hmm. It was the Left Hand Brewing Company Imperial Stout. And I first drank it, and it was like... Yeah. It was awful.
Yeah. And that hadn't held you back, that.
No, I am going to finish it. It was a $6 beer, so.
That's right.
I'm not throwing it away. And the alcohol is still good, regardless of how it tastes.
Yeah. And the Left Hand, you know, they've had a couple of misses. The Sawtooth Ale that they've got is pretty good. But
the ginger beer.
Oh, my God. I couldn't drink that. But I think everybody to their own taste, because some of the beer goddesses at the Flying Saucer were raving about the ginger beer,
and it's really being promoted pretty heavily in our area.
Yeah,
so
there's a lot of left-hand taps at all the restaurants. So
we're going to go ahead and drink this, but we're not recommending it to you people.
It's like, I mean, for an Imperial Stout, you expect some heat, you know, from the alcohol.
Which is fine. It has a little bit of warming.
But it's just like kind of musty.
But it's sugary.
Or something.
It's sweet. That's what's driving me nuts.
All right. So first up, like you said, we're kind of picking up where it's still Thursday night, and this is right before they're all getting ready, having their big party, and then we're going to go into Friday where they're bearing down to get into all of the contest except for the rib presentation.
And we got interviews from all the main cooks and everything, so it'll be a treat.
Okay, so here's the first one. We're going to listen to Alice, and she's one of the two people who are entering in the Anything But contest.
Exactly.
Here you go. All right, so we're here with Alice.
Hey, how are you doing?
And it's 9:27 p.m. on a Thursday night.
At the Barbecue Festival.
At the Barbecue Fest. And you are a little different from the regular barbecue. You're not a butt. You're not a shoulder. You're not a rib.
I'm an anything but.
You're an anything but. And you and Beth McCarty, who has mysteriously disappeared.
Yes, she has.
Are doing something different. And you're going to tell us a little bit about the Anything But. This is a contest that you do literally anything but pork, right?
Exactly.
Okay,
and
so
that's,
you can cook
that's
anything,
where some of the confusion is, where the confusion lies, is the entire category is anything but pork. And under that is beef, seafood, exotic. And there are several different categories.
Yeah.
So
now, is the exotic legal in Tennessee?
Yes, it is.
Okay, all right.
It includes roadkill, I think.
Okay,
I don't know, but I'm thinking it may be
a little exotic squirrel or possum or something
exactly.
like that. Okay.
Yes, exactly.
But you're not going there.
No, we're not going there. We're just our anything but beef entry.
Okay.
Is a champagne truffle burger.
All right. Champagne
truffle
burger. Okay. Which sounds good right off the bat.
It's very, very good.
Okay.
And we're using ground ribeye as our meat.
Okay.
And we have a little pate, truffle pate in the center.
Oh, okay.
A little champagne.
So you like mold it around the pate?
Well, actually, yeah, we put pate in the center, and yes, we mold.
Okay. And so ribeye, you got a lot of
ribeye,
nice little marble fat around there. Is this something you had ground? And
yes, we had it especially ground.
Okay.
But the kicker on this, and the reason this whole thing started, was our bun is an unglazed donut.
Okay, and you were telling me about this before, and this is where we do the way back machine. And flashback to your childhood.
The flashback to childhood.
All right.
I grew up in a small town. In Tennessee, Brewston, Tennessee, and we had a local donut shop. And Mr. Pete Smith, got to give him credit.
The donut shop guy. Okay.
He made donuts, and, you know, they had them all around, but he would also serve lunch.
Mm-hmm.
And we would go, as a girl, like 10-year-old, on Saturday, we would all just walk up to the donut shop to have lunch, and we thought we were the coolest things in the world.
Yeah.
Because, you know, we were like
girls.
Oh, so you
go to the donut shop for lunch?
Yes, we go to the donut shop.
Not just to get a donut in the morning.
No, we would go to the donut shop for lunch.
Okay.
You know, we were doing the lunch thing.
Right.
And the he would make the hamburger cheeseburger, and the bun was an unglazed donut.
Really? Okay. So is there no sweetness to the bun?
There's a tiny bit of sweetness when you make the donut dough itself.
Yeah.
There's a tiny bit of sugar in it.
Right. Yeah.
But really, the sweetness comes from the glaze.
Is there
that
a
you
hole?
Do. There can be a hole. That, and it's funny, the way he did the bun, you could see where the hole, the perforation for the
right.
hole,
uh-huh.
but the hole was not punched through.
Okay, so it kind of swelled up and filled in as you cooked
yes.
the thing? Okay.
And so we thought about keeping the hole in the donut,
right.
but the only thing about barbecue is if you had that hole, there might be a perception of sweetness.
Yeah.
So you didn't
yeah,
want to have that. So it was,
right.
there was kind of, because it could be really cool, because you could do some, you know, very nice garnishes
right.
out of the hole
uh-huh.
if the judges knew that there was no sweetness. But, you know, it's like drinking a, you know, like you think you're having a Coke and you get a Diet Coke
yeah.
or vice versa.
Yeah. So it's a little
you
trick
do, you don't that. Want that surprise
right.
thing.
Right.
So we left the hole out of it.
Okay.
And
so it's just a solid bun.
Yes, yeah, solid
does it
bun.
Look, does it look like a bun?
It looks like a bun. And it holds up very well,
yeah.
but as you bite into it, it melts away. So
I can imagine that
it's
because
a very
it's a donut.
Nice consistency. It's a very nice consistency.
That is just great. And so
yeah.
it's like it's a really kind of porous
yes.
sort of. Okay.
Yes.
So when you prepare your burger, though, are you putting any kind of condiments in it to
we
kind of
are,
like seal the deal so that it doesn't
decided,
get too wet?
What we decided to do with the entire burger. Is we thought the best thing was a crystal.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
So we're doing mustard pickle onion.
Our listening audience, you know, we're
yes.
local to the South, so we know what crystals is.
Yes.
It's like a White Castle.
Yes.
A little slider,
exactly.
hockey puck
right.
burger.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Rat
right.
burger, you know,
right.
whatever
right.
you think. This
yeah.
is a little bigger than a rat burger, but
yeah. okay.
what we're doing is we're doing cornichons, brown
yeah.
mustard,
yeah.
red onion.
Okay.
Little tiny bit of mayonnaise to
okay.
just, you
yeah,
know,
kind of seal
smooth
the bun
it
so
out.
It doesn't get too wet. Yeah.
Right. And we're doing that that condiment plus some provolone cheese.
Oh, my God.
We tried Havarti cheese. We thought it was a little too strong.
Yeah.
So we ended up with the provolone and we're doing that almost like a confit
yeah.
of the red onion or purple onion,
mm-hmm.
brown mustard,
right.
and
okay, so
the
you mix them these all together and let them
yes,
soak
we
for a
are
bit
almost
and putting it on there.
Yeah, it's almost like a paste,
right.
to go
okay.
on that,
okay.
and then we're gonna garnish everything. I mean, which yeah. you know, for barbecue you do a blind box, and we did
right.
a blind box test,
okay.
and. It was so cool because we put
okay.
the burgers and we put the toothpicks in the burgers and then we just garnished it with some little baby tomatoes and some parsley and it looked fabulous.
So is this the first year to do this? Or
yes.
Have you gotten this? Okay, this
and you know,
year.
In my opinion, we are either going to do very well
mm-hmm.
or we're not going to do very well at all.
Well,
it just
it
depends on
right.
what But in the other anything but carrot categories, sometimes like bacon wrapped shrimp wins. So we are thinking a familiar, but a little twist on familiar.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe the trick.
Okay.
We don't know,
right.
but we're going to try our best.
Well, this is also the first year that we have had some of the, well, the best looking women for Smokers Anonymous cooking.
Yeah, you
for
think
us.
That has a little something to do with the crisp?
Absolutely.
It's all about
yeah.
the presentation,
yes.
right? Okay.
And these girls have got it down to a science.
There you go. Okay. It's all about the presentation. You could be serving
and,
mud pies.
And
right?
what size waders do you have on there? I don't know.
I have got a giant tube of chapstick that I've been wearing all week. How do you think you got in on a golf cart?
And you can tell there's a little bit of beer involved.
Oh,
you know,
there's
I've
just a tiny bit.
Yeah.
Oh, please.
Yeah.
Barbecue.
And they're all liars. That's all I have to say. They're liars.
Oh.
Very much liars. But anyway. No, but you know what? We're trying something different.
Yeah.
And can
well,
I say what? Can
yeah.
I say what I really think?
You can say whatever you want. There's no FCC regulation. You
we,
can say whatever you
we,
want.
You know, you can cut this out if you want to.
No, we're not going to. We don't cut anything out. We're too lazy.
We tried brisket.
Yeah.
Brisket is making a bad piece of meat, trying to make it taste good.
Yeah.
Well, that's the whole idea behind it.
Hadn't
Ruskin,
worked.
Right?
Yeah. Has not worked for us, so we're trying something different. If we do well, fine. If we don't, but at least we're branching out. So I think it's a different thing.
So we were watching you prepare these burgers. We got a little picture,
yes.
And it's going on the website. And this isn't something that you're going to do in an hour from now. This is tomorrow.
Yes.
You're starting. It's 9:30 the night before.
Right.
All right, y'all were working on getting your patties ready.
Right.
And now you're chilling them for
yes.
a little while. And then, what is it? I heard you're going to go back and you're going to make some dough, right?
Well, and that's the thing we decided to go ahead and do because it will meld the flavors of the pate and the beef.
Oh, yeah.
So you're tonight.
Let it
rest so you can't hurt, yeah. You know, you can't hurt that.
Yeah.
Our biggest concern is this donut dough that we're doing. You have to cultivate the yeast and have it the right temperature,
right.
And you have to have the milk that is the, you know, scald, get it back to the right tepid temperature.
We know about cultivating yeast with our beer because we brew beer.
Oh, okay. Well, see, I didn't know that.
Yeah, we're all about the yeast.
So we decided we were going to do that first because we've had the donut rise. We've done several practice runs, and there was a time we didn't have it rise. Now, our backup plan is my mother's recipe for biscuits.
Okay. So if the donut doesn't work, plan
if
B is
rise,
biscuits.
Yes. Okay. My mother's biscuit recipe is that's on the back burner. I can whip that up in like 2 seconds, and we're good to go.
Well, we're looking forward to seeing the donut bun. That is so cool. I don't think I've ever heard anything like that.
Well, and you know what? It's so funny that, you know, we've been talking about it, and I think it is a very unique thing.
Yeah.
And, you know, who knows?
All right, now here's the question I got, though, because I've done something not like anything remotely like what you've done, but I've entered something like sandwich-like in the contest before. And that... Do you think the perception, will the judges overlook the whole idea that this is a sandwich versus this is something completely?
I don't know. The funny thing is, it looks, when we practiced a couple of weeks ago, yeah. And, well, when we practiced, I tell you what, funny thing was, when we put those four, because, you know, you need four serving in a blind box, and we put those four burgers, and they were tall, and they had those little buns on them, and, you know, we had the whole thing done. They looked pretty impressive, and as I said, they're going to get attention, whether it's negative or positive,
they sound great. I can't wait to get it. We're going to see them, we're going to get a picture of them.
Yes.
Tomorrow, but they just sound fantastic.
Well, and you know what? Like I said, we're trying something different, and you gotta get out of the box and go.
So you tried this out though with some. You done some test cooks. You tried
yes,
it out
we've
with
done
people,
about four
so
tests.
When they bite into this sort of innocent looking burger.
They love it.
They love it. Okay.
They do. It's good. It's good.
Right,
and
well, Alice, we hope you do great. We can't
thank
wait
you very
to,
much
to see how you do.
Thank you so much.
I just have one question. Who's
yes.
the we? Who's
well,
the we?
I say we as a team as a whole, but Beth McCarty is my partner in crime.
And she disappeared.
And she did disappear. She's right over there.
Oh, she's over there
and,
socializing.
And then, actually, my friend Wendy helped tonight to assemble the burgers, and then we've got to go. You know, the big thing, it's that dough. We're nervous about the dough.
Right.
And hopefully, you know, the moon's in the seventh house, and we can stand on one foot and hold out one arm, and everything's going to be good.
Okay, good. Well, all right, well, we're going to find out tomorrow.
Thanks so much.
Thank you, Alice.
Thank you.
So that was Alice and our interview with her. And you may have noticed when we opened up, we went back to 19th Street Red, who's the solo artist on the street that we mentioned at the beginning of the show. The first part one.
Yeah.
Part one. We don't know how many parts this show will be.
Yeah. And 19th Street Red was the displaced
New Orleans singer.
Yeah. He's a one-man band, and everything here coming out of that is him and his dog. And, so Alice was – we got pictures also. We need to let people know there's pictures up, and you see Alice threatening
She would be
me.
A definition of a Southern belle.
Yeah, she
She's
is.
A good-looking woman with a nice Southern drawl.
Smart, and she can cook.
And she can cook.
Yeah.
It was very good food. We got to sample it.
Yeah, it's all good.
And our next interview is with Jimmy Shotwell.
Right.
And he's got the crawfish bisque.
Mm-hmm. Here you go.
All right, we're talking with Jimmy Shotwell, who has just turned in crawfish bisque.
Yes, sir.
And you, and Chris told me to say you are the backbone of this entire team. Basically, they would just fall to pieces without you. Is that true?
I wish it was true, but, man, there's like 20 people out here. If it wasn't for one person, we'd all fall apart.
And you can tell Chris is lying because he hadn't drunk yet.
That's true. He was walking around with a suit and tie on. Come on.
I know. What is up with that?
I know.
So we had the crawfish bisque. It was fantastic.
Thank you.
It could not, you know, fantastic's like too weak a word to describe
that.
It was excellent. So anyway, Jimmy, how did this come about? I'd heard y'all did a lobster bisque before.
It was a crawfish bisque before, just the same thing. We've perfected it. This is the second year at Memphis in May we've done this crawfish bisque, but we've done it in multiple other contests. How it came about was found a drunk Cajun, beat him up, and got the recipe from him.
Good, okay.
No.
Rolled him in an alley in somewhere in New Orleans or something?
Exactly. Down Bourbon Street we found. No. Actually, I found a good idea for a lobster bisque that you were talking about and was wondering, why not have it if we did some crawfish in that? And then threw some corn in there, some potatoes, make it almost a chowder, not a full bisque, but almost a chowder. But it's still a bisque. It still has the same principles as a bisque does. And it just gives sweetness to it, and it's just so wonderful.
And it's got that nice little warm finish at the end with that little cayenne slip in under the radar.
Just sneaks up on you behind you.
Yeah, and it was great. But it's like we were tasting, it's like, okay, you got some heat, but it's not overpowering hot. And it's just great. It's just like a whole series of tastes that you get.
Well, the great thing is about this is no one down here, when they do seafood, they do salmon, they do catfish, they do shrimp. No one's ever done a soup or a bisque. No one has ever, because there's no way really to plate that up.
You're breaking new wind here.
I'm trying to. But, no one does a soup, and this has been the first soup anybody's ever heard of.
Yeah, okay. Because, you know, we're outdoors, of course, but, of course, we've got more smokers and stoves and radar ranges and nuclear cooking ovens and any kind of restaurants.
Propane, natural gas, charcoal.
You got all of the cooking accessories that you want.
Exactly.
This is just great stuff, and I hope we're going to see the results come back later tonight, right?
Exactly. We'll be tonight about 6 o'clock. We'll find out just first, second, and third.
Yeah.
And last year, we didn't get first, second, and third in it. Last year, we were kind of bummed about it, and then I went home on Saturday after the judging was over, got a phone call about 8:30 in the evening going, Jimmy, guess what? Out of 150 people, you got ninth place for the crawfish bisque. And I was bummed out until that. And I was like, woohoo! You should have heard about me in my apartment. It was wonderful.
So you're not going to know. We're not going to know until like later.
Saturday.
Of course, we're hoping here first, second, third.
No, we're going to find out tonight that we get first, second, or third.
Okay, there you go.
And then if not, we got fourth place. Everybody got fourth place.
Okay.
There.
Now, have you done the bisque here in Memphis in May?
Last year we did the crawfish. We got ninth place last year in it. And it was an amazing showing for the crawfish. It was we were really astonished and surprised.
Well, and that's where, you know, with some of the things that you guys have been entering with the crawfish, the cordon bleu in a biscuit, and then the sandwich, the champagne truffle on a unsweet donut, which one's walking by me now.
And I'm about to steal it, I think.
And, y'all are really trying new and introducing things. I was talking to Alice about that introducing these things, a lot of times you're putting things in front of the judges that they really weren't thinking about.
When they say beef category, they're not thinking champagne truffled burgers, which I'm grabbing one right now with my hand, trying to, with a donut crust on it. It's just amazing what these judges get.
And Alice thrilled us with like her three-hour epic tale of a young girl growing up in the coal mines.
did she give you the Loretta Lynn story last night?
She did. Oh. You know, her coat of many colors that was like knitted by her mother, I think. Hunted to kill the animals themselves.
Oh, my gosh. I just had a piece of that. It's unbelievable. It's got some relish and some pickles on that.
Thank you, Alice. This is great.
People think of a Crystal burger put on like five times steroids, like very balanced steroids.
Yeah, so like Crystal, that's it, because they're like that size.
The little mini burgers with nice chopped onions.
And the bread's good, too. I
mean, the donut.
I know, the donut. This is great stuff.
Yeah. But this
so that's a good thing about a podcast. We can stop and eat during an
interview. Exactly. Now, the great thing about just being down here, especially the past like 4 or 5 years, has been the Food Channel. I mean, everybody has picked up things from Bobby Flay or whoever that chick is, the 30-minute meals.
The Rachel Ray.
Rachel Ray. Oh, she's hot.
Jada,
she's hot.
And, yeah, and Jada.
Oh, yes.
Well, yeah, you're right. You know, that's a good point. Because a couple years before, there was no such thing, and people now are being exposed to this whole diverse. Even if they don't cook it, they see it. They're aware of it,
they're
right?
They see it, and they're finding out different items they've never even heard about. Like 10 years ago, truffles on a burger. Yeah. You would never thought about truffles on a burger. Now, because Sean McCarty and the Food Channel, it's all come together.
Yeah. Well, Jimmy, this is really, I mean, the crawfish bisque, and I love a good seafood bisque. Mm-hmm. And,
that was very good.
Now, did you boil, was that what y'all were doing last night? With we saw your crawfish guy.
Yeah,
coming through, and we corralled him about a further crawfish adventures down the road. But did you like have the light boil them out here?
Well, you've got two different options on that. Uh-huh. For the better flavor portion of it, you can get fresh crawfish tails pre-boiled, like you do a crawfish bowl, nice heavy flavor already built into the crawfish. Or if you don't have the time or the money or the equipment, you can go to Kroger or Chinook's, wherever you go to get your groceries at, and they've got 1-pound packages of crawfish tails frozen already.
Right.
I like to start with the frozen because I can start that palate straight off. I can do what I want to. But I've done the pre-boiled, and there's just as much flavor in those two.
So for this competition, which one did you use?
I think the fifth on that.
Okay. I'm not going to ask you that. I'm not going to push it. Well, you were talking about how you were checking it for the consistency of the meat. Make sure it's not gummy from overcooking, right?
And that's one problem you have when you do a pre-cook like that, then do a cook. Your meat may get overcooked almost twice, maybe three times when you reheat it. And gets that gumminess in there, and just, it's just bad.
Well, I know y'all were doing this, like, right down to the wire. But he's looking in desperation for his Jack Daniels.
Sprite I'll do for right now, I guess.
It's been at least a minute and a half since you had a drink.
And I promise I did not have a drink prior to cooking.
No, I know. You were, like, stay abstaining. And it's like, okay, as soon as I'm done, I can have a drink.
And if you look behind you, that bottle of Jack Daniels is empty.
Yeah,
now.
I know. It's like a vanishing act. That thing was like a half full a minute ago.
I know. It's
you've turned that in, though, but y'all are cutting it like right down to the wire.
Exactly.
Dump it in the tray, run it down there, and we didn't get to get video of any of that. Hopefully, we're going to be sober enough to break out the video camera later and get some of this. But all the turn ins have been done now.
Well, right? You have one more.
We got our chicken wings, and we got a couple of pictures will be on the website about the chicken wings. And
then tomorrow you've got the ribs, which the pictures of that. How everybody turns it in is you wait to the last possible moment to turn your blind boxes in because you want to keep the heat in there. You'll see people deliver their boxes to the tent down there in pizza delivery boxes, like the warm boxes that people bring some pizza to. Wrapped in tinfoil, wrapped in. I wrap mine in. Just towels, bar towels, because it keeps it warm and they're easy on hand. But you see people wrap their boxes in that to keep whatever in there is warm just a degree or two.
Now, you have to use their blind box?
Yep.
Okay. And a blind box, just to explain that, is the box that you put your entry in to feed four judges.
Anything but.
Right. Okay. And for the ribs, you know how many judges
If I'm not mistaken, it's four judges. Well, blind boxes, you put more than the judges.
Right.
You usually put about 8 pieces of ribs in there, and it's a meat bone selection. So the judges can take there and take the bone and try to pull it out.
Check and make sure that it's cooked the pulse apart from the meat and everything.
Exactly. Okay. And it's wonderful.
Yeah.
But the blind boxes, they deliver the blind boxes to us this morning in a big plastic bag. And if you look over to our left, you can actually see it. It's still a big plastic bag.
Okay.
Styrofoam clamshells.
That's the
styrofoam.
Official boxes over there.
Exactly.
We got to make sure not to take those out to the trash then when we're cleaning up. I mean, y'all been kind enough to let us take the garbage out.
You guys have been wonderful.
We appreciate that.
We appreciate y'all coming down here this weekend.
Listen, this is our pleasure. I mean, we're going to sweep. We're going to pick up. If we need to park cars, whatever we need to do.
We still got dinner served this evening for 300 people.
You're
going to put your work in the kitchen. Come on.
We're ready.
And we got capers.
We're going to talk to Danny and some of the other guys about preparing that. Are you getting it? I know you've been focusing on this today, but during the big cook later on for dinner, the dinner crowd, which we had lunch earlier.
400 people today.
400 people.
Just
okay.
For 100 people.
Oh, for 100. Okay, so. Yeah. Well, tonight it ought to be pretty crazy. We had a little break from the weather. I think that turned some people away because there was a little bit of rain passing through, but it's gone. It's getting hot. We're sweating. You know, we have to keep applying beer rapidly to keep from bursting into flames. But I think we're going to be okay with that.
Yeah, we're a bunch of heathen rednecks. We're in a trailer on the river, on the Mississippi River, here cooking barbecue for
the heck of it. That's right.
We're a bunch of heathen rednecks.
That's right. But that's a good thing.
Oh,
but,
yeah. You know, we're a bunch of
all our northern friends who listen to us. We kind of got them into the whole trailer park mentality. They like the idea. You know, they're saying, man, I wish we could do that. Because they're trapped in Illinois and Indiana and cold parts of the world. And,
oh.
Just kidding. We're poking at some of our fellow beer shows. So, well, Jimmy, listen, this is great stuff.
And as you can hear in the background, another Anything But just left. We have a 11-year-old wing cooker.
Okay, that was it. That was the last one. Yeah, and we got a picture of him. That's I think Sean was saying, we're the present. Here's the future.
Exactly.
You're bringing him up right. And
that's a great thing about Sean. He'll bring in two or three new guys. Like I came in about 3 years ago as a new guy just to help out.
Yeah.
Just to take the trash out, clean up, do whatever, just for free beer, free liquor, and a couple of looks of women or whatnot. And it's turned into now I'm back here in the kitchen.
Okay, good. So then we're doing the right thing.
Yeah.
We're doing it. We're putting in serving our time.
Exactly.
There. Okay, cool.
Next year we'll step you up and we'll give you a full apron and some
knives.
All right.
We're there.
We'll let you chop up some ribs.
Well, Jimmy, listen, thanks for taking a few minutes away from your liquor drinking.
Where's my jacket?
We appreciate it. And, man, I know, you know, that's a winner as far as I'm concerned.
I appreciate it.
Thanks a lot.
Thank you so much.
Okay.
It's been amazing. Thank you.
And, he's a good guy.
He is. He was hard working too, and worked real hard on and helped us out. And it was a lot of fun being around that team. And we've cracked open another beer.
We disposed of the residue of the Left Hand Imperial Stout, and we've opened a new one.
Yep. And this is the
Saint Peter's English Ale.
Right. And this is one I found at the World Market, and it was interesting because this is organically grown.
Hops. It's got a very distinctive bottle. It's unlike any beer bottle you've ever
seen. It's kind of like a medicine bottle. This is organically grown hops and barley. And look at, you see how these giant bubbles that are floating around the inside of the bottle. I don't know if that has anything to do with organically grown, but it's good. And what were you saying that it's like
it tastes like an English pub. Anybody that's been to England and had a lot of pints and P's and Q's, then they know what the English pub taste is. And this
is,
gives you that immediate, wow, I'm back in England.
So. I got a little biscuity sort of taste to it. It's very good. I'm enjoying it.
We are enjoying it.
It's a green bottle up. That's kind of peculiar. You'd think they'd use a darker bottle.
I'm finding that a lot of the Europeans, maybe it's the
I guess it doesn't
Lowenbrau.
Maybe it doesn't sit around long enough to go bad.
Or maybe they just have green for us. Because they think we like it.
There you go. Give it to the Yanks.
We'll give it to the Americans. They'll drink anything.
So we've got Jimmy disposed of, and we've got a lot more to go. Let's take a listen to our next interview. So here's Danny Kennedy. All right, Danny.
Okay.
You have had a pretty light day today. You did lunch for 100 people?
About 100 folks.
100 folks. And then you just kind of wandered around while everybody's getting their and I noticed you were like kind of checking in on everybody.
That's
making sure everybody's getting their turn-ins ready.
Annoying the crap out of us.
Just helping out wherever I can.
All right. But you're getting revved up now.
Yep.
I saw this earlier. You know, Rick and I would have panicked, right? And I forget who it was that was starting to freak about the temperature got to 300 on the big grill with a bunch of shoulders for tonight. And you're like, yeah, don't worry about it. So you've been doing this long enough to know, you said, the vent's closed. Yep. Okay, it'll go back down. So it's like you were just cool about the whole thing. You've done this long enough to know.
There's no need to get panicky or anything like that.
And how many people are you getting ready to feed?
Tonight, we're expecting close to anywhere from 500, maybe 600 people.
Okay. So this is the thing that we want to talk to you about. You know, it's hard enough to feed your family. Then you bring the rest of the relatives over there. But you're doing 500 people tonight. And it's no small job. What kind of volume are we looking at here?
We're looking to see. We're going to have roughly around 40 slabs of ribs. Mm-hmm. We've got maybe 60 pounds of shoulder meat that we're going to chop and pull out and serve. We've got, I think, close to 10 pounds of smoked sausage.
Yeah.
and two big old sticks of bologna.
I had some of that barbecue bologna.
Yeah, that's good
man,
stuff.
Man, that's good stuff.
That's good
there.
Stuff.
Smoke, oh, man. Got that smoke going through the bologna.
That's right.
Ah, yeah, that's that, good. That's what I headed for first, since I saw that, because you can't hardly get that.
No, it, and, it goes quick.
Now, the thing we were talking about is these, and you're also going to do the competition ribs tomorrow.
Correct.
Right?
That's the first thing tomorrow morning.
And you kind of got everything set aside.
Right.
You got the special charcoal. You're cooking these things on, you got the big bullet, or not a bullet grill, but the big long grill that you're cooking on, and you're doing your ribs in the backwood smoker.
Yes.
And we were watching. We got pictures of this. Tell me about the whole process for cooking your ribs.
First of all, first thing that we do is that we marinate the ribs overnight in pineapple juice. And a little, let that the acetic acid there work its thing and just tenderize it that way. And also add a little onions, a little garlic to it, give a little flavor and overnight there. And then in the morning we'll get up and we'll take them out. We'll season them up with our rub, if you will.
The dry rub,
Dry rub. Right. And then we'll put them on the grill for a couple of hours, a little process there. And then roughly about 3 hours later, we'll turn around and put them in aluminum foil with a little apple juice.
Right.
And then steam them up that way. And then we'll take them out after a couple of hours of that or until we test them and make sure they're tender the way we want them.
Yeah.
And then sauce them up, get ready to serve them.
And we got some pictures of that process where you're pulling them out.
Mm-hmm.
They look good right then. And then you pour like a half to look like a half to a quarter cup to a big aluminum tray.
Right.
So just enough to make some steam.
Yes.
You're not trying to soak them.
No.
Just get a little steam into it. Now, here's my question, because we were talking about this backwood smoker, the big, tall smoker you got, and it's like 15 degrees difference between the top and the bottom,
right?
So when you put the ribs in there, do you do any kind of rotating? Or
About every 30, 40 minutes, we'll go in there and we'll rotate. We'll take the bottom rack, put it up top, and just work them down. Just keep them like that.
Okay.
On this particular smoker, we have a little hot spot. We know about it.
Yeah.
Through trial and error, we know that we have to rotate on this one. If we added some more gizmos and gadgets to it, we wouldn't have to do that. But it serves our purpose. It works very well. We've done very well with this thing.
Now, are you doing just one layer of ribs, or do you have a couple of slabs stacked
on top? No, they're single layer ribs.
Single layer, okay. So you got a lot of racks that you're just rotating out, so everything, okay. And so you got that nice juices dripping down, kind of saturating all the way through. Are you basting these guys as you do it?
No.
Okay.
That's what
just letting their own juices do it.
Let their own juices thing do its thing. Then we also let the apple juice do its thing, too.
Right. Yeah, that's right. In the latter half. Okay, and so you're going to do that for 2 hours.
Mm-hmm.
So we've got here, we're looking at, I got like 3:15, and we got people going to start showing up 6:30?
6:30 tonight.
Okay.
About a couple hours before then, I'm going to be working on setting up side dishes. I'll be doing some jalapeno corn. I got to do some roasting of corn here shortly, and then roasting of jalapeno peppers.
Well, yeah, and Danny, I was saying something to you. It's like you're going light on us. You only had 3 beers. Well, you've been here for a while.
I've been busy all morning.
But you're promising us some tequila action.
Absolutely right.
All right. Okay, that's what we're looking for later on. So it's going to be – last night was the big party. Tonight, you'll are kind of like pacing yourself a little.
Last night was a big party.
Right.
Wait till tonight.
Yeah, okay. So tomorrow, competition. There it is, right there.
There's the sweet stuff right there.
Jalico.
Uh-huh.
Yeah. We got the gold tequila, and we're going to enjoy a little bit of that, or a lot of that, later on.
Well, I'm going to make sure a couple of ladies drink this, and hopefully something will come off later on.
Well, there you go. And we got the camera, too, so make sure it happens around us.
There you go.
So Danny, tomorrow, though, that's a big day.
Yes.
Right? And what time are you going to start?
6 o'clock in the morning.
Man, you're going to feel like hell, right, for about 30 minutes. And then you're going to be all up into it and no time for pain or nothing.
We'll get going, have a Bloody Mary, and just keep on clicking and ticking.
And you're using the natural charcoal.
Yep.
You're going to use the backwood smoker?
Yes, we are.
Okay, so you're going to get all that up. 6 o'clock in the morning, you hit it. You get your fire going.
Yep.
You got your meat. So today, have you got your rib? I know this is what y'all were talking about, that your ribs were fantastic. And y'all referring to them as like the throwaway, and everybody's real derogatory about it, but they're fantastic ribs.
Well, we appreciate that. But
I know tonight now you're going to get those ribs prepped, and you're going to pull that membrane off.
We already buy ribs that doesn't have the membrane on.
Oh, really? Okay,
yeah,
cool. Okay, so you got your slabs already picked.
Right.
That what you're going to cook
correct.
For the competition, all right? So that's somewhere hidden in there. In the secret ice box. box yeah. back there behind it's, us. It's
over there where the small weenie guy
there
is, you know.
That's why all those Viagra tablets are laying around here. Okay.
Hey, so, hey, we got to have something around here for right. entertainment.
Yeah, take a Viagra and see what pops up. So, so we were hearing about the blind boxes that you're going to turn in, and how many judges are going to sample the competition ribs?
Normally what happens is that on the blind box, we'll take it to a tent. There's usually six judges around one table.
Mm-hmm.
All right. We don't know who they are. Nobody knows who, what product they're looking at or anything like that. And the first thing they'll do is they'll set the blind boxes on the table, and then each judge will open their own box and say, okay, who has the best-looking box?
Okay. So first thing is presentation.
Right. Very much so.
All right.
And it has to be a very simple presentation within the box. You can't do anything elaborate or anything like that. It's just the meat only.
How much competition do you have? How many people will be entering ribs at the exact same time you are that you're competing against directly?
I think this year there's over 170 teams.
Wow, that's a lot. And these and this is international.
Just yeah, right. International rib teams only.
Yeah.
All right. And there's also probably close to 60, maybe 75, somewhere in that range there, shoulder teams.
Mm-hmm.
And then you also have 25 to 30 whole hog teams.
Yeah.
So there's a lot of teams down here fighting for and for big money too.
And we didn't talk about this, but about the road to get here,
uh-huh.
right? I mean, it isn't something that you just walk up to.
No,
right? You had to compete. You had to get. What are they doing? A point system or by
yes,
win competition?
There's a circuit,
right?
All right, and a lot of the teams will do the circuit over the course of the year, uh-huh. earn points,
uh-huh.
and if you do win or place in these circuits or in these events, you automatically have a berth within. Memphis and May competition.
Right.
If you don't, you have to go through the board, and they'll approve if you can come on or something like that.
So how are you guys here?
We've been around a long time.
Right. So you got the points, and
we got the points, okay. and we placed well in all, a lot of the,
all of them. Yeah.
So.
Okay. Well, we're hoping. I mean, from everything we've had, you know, everything we've had is just fantastic, award winning. Best ever, as far as we're concerned.
We have a hell of a crew here.
Oh, you do. You got a great crew. Everybody pitches in. They all work together. I mean, I've watched, and in the heat of all of this, everybody's saying, "What can I do to help? What do you need? What do you need?"
That's what it's all about. And then at the same time, we got friends that come in. We want to make sure that they're entertained a little bit. They got some food, and we want to make sure they're good food.
Yeah.
All right. And then make sure that they do have a nice, some libation of liquids in their hands or something like that.
Just a drink or two.
That's right.
Okay.
You know? I will fuss at them first thing they come to my booth. Wait a minute, your hands are empty. What's the problem?
I think that's what you said to me this morning. So what's wrong here? Yeah, your hands are empty.
That's right. Yeah.
Well, we're looking forward to it. We know tomorrow morning it's going to be real tense and stuff, and hope you do well. And I'm looking forward to it. Judging by anything that we've had so far, I mean, you guys are winners all the way.
Wait until tomorrow after the competition with the ribs that we have. You'll see the difference.
All right.
I assure you
all
of that.
All right. Well, Danny, thanks a lot. I know you got to get back to getting all drinked up before the cooking starts.
Well, I'm going to take me a good shot of this tequila here in a minute.
Just to calm your nerves.
Just calm the nerves.
Medicinal purposes.
That's right.
All right. Well, Danny, we'll talk to you later.
All right, bud. Thanks a lot.
Bye-bye. Bye.
I'm not talking about bad church, but I'm talking about the real church. Today, bottle rock you.
world is like an atom bomb, it's ready to explode. When the trumpet sounds and the Lord comes back, I promise you one thing, I'll be a human battle rocket, and I go at it with a bang. I'll leave this Holy Ghost,
Holy Ghost,
Big Bang Theory,
Big Bang Theory,
Pentecostal,
Pentecostal,
fire and brimstone,
fire and brimstone,
Mission Temple fireworks.
We're talking with Reeves Calloway, and he is the youngest member of Smokers Anonymous, and you have just turned in about half an hour ago some hot wings, and we had some. Reeves, they were great.
Thank you.
You ever done this before?
Not in a tournament or anything, but I usually just cook to eat.
Yeah?
And I usually just did that at home. And
so this is the only way you're going to get fat around your house? Parents don't feed you? Is that what you're calling us?
Oh, yeah. Okay. Oh, yeah.
Dad's looking over the shoulder and going, yeah, right.
Taught him everything I knew.
Now, we were watching y'all over there, and we got pictures of you working on your wings, and you had a little help, right? Sean and your dad helped you a little bit.
Mm-hmm.
Right? Did you have to, like, tell them to get away? Were they butting in?
Oh, at times.
All right. Well, Reeves, they were great. So what's the secret to a good hot wing?
You have to watch them carefully.
Yeah. They can get away from you and burn, right?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, because you're putting all that tomato and stuff on it. And you're using a Weber grill, regular old Weber kettle grill to do yours. Are you throwing any kind of like chips or anything, or just straight charcoal,
nope,
right?
Just straight charcoal.
Okay. So did you marinate your wings or anything?
I marinated them in the sauce and marinate them for about an hour and a half, 2 hours.
Okay. Same sauce that you kept pouring on them, or a different sauce?
Same sauce.
Okay. All right. So that's your special Reeves Calloway Magic Mojo hot sauce, right, that you got those wings sucking up in? All right. Well, they were good. I mean, I had one. Nice, spicy. Got a little heat to them, but nothing that'll, make you fall on the floor and cry like a little girl. So that was good. You know, are you happy with how they came out?
I'm really excited. I think they're going to do well.
I think so, too. They were great, Reeves. And now, I know that when you were, you had all the wings laid out there, and you cooked a bunch of wings.
Yes.
You had to pick the ones to go into the blind box for the judge, right?
Yes.
Four judges going to try your wings? Okay.
Mm.
So what were you looking for?
The caramelization,
which
is like, it's kind of black, but not burnt.
Right.
And it was like that on both sides.
Mm-hmm.
But I had to have a few that weren't as caramelized.
Okay.
Because some of the judges might not like it.
Right. Okay. So you're kind of trying to give a little selection for the judges to pick from. Okay.
And we put quite a few wings in there, too.
Okay.
Give us a big variety.
Well, listen, the ones that we had were great. But they've got all these special categories, right?
Yes.
And so that's why you're doing this, the hot wings category, right?
Yes.
Okay. And how did you get tapped to do this?
Well, I started...
Like, what was this, punishment or something?
No, I went to have hot wings in Ohio, North Carolina, Florida, and even Hooters.
Oh, yeah.
But
you got a Hooters a lot, do you?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, just for the wings, though, right? Okay. why do they call it Hooters? It's because it got an owl, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah. And I still just couldn't find any wings that I really liked. So I said, what the heck, I'll try it myself.
Okay.
And they were really good. And Mr. Sean decided that he would like to try one. And he loved it and he told me to join us.
Well, that's great. Well, this is a real success story. All right, well, Joe, you're in here watching, making sure he doesn't embarrass us. So,
So, Reeves, these are great wings,
Thank you.
Hope you're going to do good. And we're going to find out later on, right?
Yes, sir.
On how you do. And so what are you doing now? You're just like having a couple of beers, relaxing?
Yeah, just okay. Chilling.
Okay, all right. Are you a beer guy or liquor guy?
Both.
Okay. You can take whatever's in front of you, right?
Yeah.
Okay.
Uncle Sean taught him that.
Yeah, Uncle Sean taught him. All right, well, Reeves, good luck, buddy. I mean, you did a great job.
Thank you. We had the wings.
They're fantastic. And don't let anybody tell you your wings aren't just the best, man.
Thank you.
Okay, thanks a lot, Reeves.
All right.
Bye-bye.
Bye.
So that was Reeves Galloway, 11-year-old chicken wing cooker.
That's right. And those were some good wings. And we were talking offline about, you know, our kids couldn't say caramelization, much less cook the wings as that on a grill.
Yeah, he was just a remarkable kid.
Yeah. And they really were.
It was a great
thing watching all the people coming in. They're all, you know, Reeves was the youngest, but they had some older folks in there, and we were probably up towards the upper end, but not that all the way up there. But it was a great time, and I think as you can tell by listening to this audio, we were all having a lot of fun and a lot of beer and some of everything else. The bar, when you see the pictures, there was no shortage of party juice to be had.
No, there's no shortage of anything. If you were either hungry or thirsty, then you were doing something wrong.
Yeah. No, there was
no excuse for either.
Yeah, and
we do remember that Bodine won in the chicken wing division.
That's true.
Even though Reeves didn't win, we were happy with the team that did.
Right. And that's Thomas Gary's team's husband of Susan, right?
Susan the beer band, right?
He refers to himself now. And in between the interview with Danny Kennedy, who on my notes I wrote down butt guy.
Yeah.
And that means he was in charge of the big grill, cooking all the butts and feeding a bunch of hungry people. And just generally, he was just always in motion watching everybody. In between Danny and Reeves Galloway, we played a little song that we heard at Music Fest and that we were looking for, and
we were talking about it during the Music Fest show.
Right.
And we got it now, so you guys can listen to it. It's the Mission Temple Fireworks Stand by Paul Thorne.
Yeah.
So I hope you
good
like that.
Stuff.
That was a rocking song.
Yeah, and it was really cool. I mean, it might have threw you at first.
What you're missing is the 5-minute lead-in this guy told.
Yeah, yeah.
I mean, the whole story to why he sings the song. But that's great
stuff.
It was
pretty cool. So, good stuff. We've got
We're enjoying the organic beer.
Yeah, we're
definitely.
Still,
it's going
still drinking
very
that
smoothly.
So I think we're winding this segment up, right?
Yeah, we're going to do a third show on this.
Yeah,
so we're going to have show 38, part 3.
Yep, got a little bit more. So we're going to lead out here.
And we beg your indulgence, but you have to listen to this because the end part is Susan Muscari's drunken rambling.
Yeah.
at the Bodine booth where she's trying to get everyone to either lift the tops or drop the drawers.
There you go. And we're going to post the outtakes, too.
Yes, we
will.
This
is all the stuff we had to take out in order to avoid explicit labels on every one of these shows. But
we're not going to put the outtakes on iTunes. You're going to have to go to the website.
That's right. And it'll be there. Yeah.
And give us a comment, please, because we love hearing from our users or our listeners.
Yeah. And we were saying this is a pretty barbecue-intensive show. As was the first one, as will be the next one. But that's because that was a big event for us, and we were very honored to be there.
And it's an annual thing, and we are all about the beer, the blues, and the barbecue. So hopefully everybody takes a little bit of something away from our show.
There you go. All right, so we're going to lead out with 19th Street Red, one more song from him. This is one you liked, Rolling Blues.
I do like the song.
All right, take a listen. We'll see you next time.
Drive safe.
Baby. up and shout. Well, I know my baby, she gonna jump and shout. Whistle and a fireman.